the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Boy, I'm color coordinated here today. Got my Salt and Light Brigade shirt on. Got the beautiful red stadium behind me. Pumped up, excited to go here on, what is the date? The 13th of June, 2017. Not making another one. I got Russ Dizdar joining us here today. I've had terrible internet issues. I got up plenty early today trying to do some doodling on the computer. Man, my internet was running so slow. Now, that was my wireless. This one's plugged right directly into the internet, so maybe it's a little bit, probably better signal than what we're getting. But that just, man, I just kind of messed up the whole morning trying to get my act together here and try to get word out that Russ was going to be with us. And, I've been in Facebook jail, huh? Yep, I got launched into Facebook jail because I posted a video from my good friend Michael Massey in regards to Michael Massey, a black man, black conservative man, calling Bill Maher a house nigger. Now, Bill Maher is the one on HBO who called himself a house nigger. And Michael Massey made a great little video explaining why, yeah, Bill Maher is a house nigger. I posted it, and I get in Facebook jail. I don't know if it bothers anybody else out there at all, the censorship that's clearly going on. And not only the censorship, but the two levels of the legal system, that if me or you, the average person, did anything that any of those people in Washington, D.C. did, we'd have no mercy. We'd be in jail. There's no doubt. Makes sense. It's like we can't see the forest for the trees. I think it's a strong delusion, which is why, man, am I glad that we have Russ on here with us, because we're going to get into some of that stuff. Russ made this, he made a powerful series. He said there are more coming, but he made a series yesterday that my buddy Kevin Sarge put me on to, remote viewing, touch, and warfare. Wow. And so we're going to have Russ talk a little bit about that here this morning. But before we do, can I pat myself on the back? Sure I can. I don't even care if you guys care. I'm going to pat myself on the back. By the way, Russ, we changed platforms. We now can get up to 30 people on the queue here with us. We're still Google Hangouts, but it's now, instead of just 10 of us, now we can get up to 30. So we invite people out there who want to jump in here, just go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle. And if it doesn't work, just refresh it and click on Join the Huddle, and you jump right in here with us. But I want to give myself a pat on the back yesterday. It's the Holy Spirit, okay? And I'm smart enough to stop and acknowledge when the Holy Spirit, Russ, you know this, when the Holy Spirit's moving inside you and it's something beyond you and you just can't even believe it. I think one of the most powerful things that I've ever done yesterday was that home plate thing. I'm just telling you, if you didn't get a chance to see yesterday's program, it's a must watch. I don't always say that, okay? I always say the shows are good. Yesterday is a must watch. You go back and we start with that 17 and a half inch home plate, which is the truth, which is the Bible. And then you take those foul lines and you strike those foul lines that are out, and you can see how far along, the farther you get away from home plate, how far you're missing home plate. I mean, you're lined up to get there. There's always a path to get there, but boy, what an illustration that was. And I would exhort you again, share that video, because what's happened to us, ultimately, don't ever forget this. There's only one way to score a run in baseball, and that's to touch home plate. I don't care where you are. If you don't touch home plate, you don't score. And folks, truth is home plate. The Bible is home plate.
Amen, Coach.
And the closer you get to the home plate, the more finite, the more exact things need to become. See, you can hit a ball that'll be an inch foul when it's right at home plate. Just an inch and it's foul. But the farther you get away, those lines extend, and it's sometimes 360 feet from foul line to foul line, if you can imagine. Wide is the way, narrow is the gate. Baby, if you are sitting in the right field stands, let me tell you something, you have to touch home plate. It don't matter what everything else is going on. You got to touch home plate. It all emanates from home plate. And so I just wanted to pat the Holy Spirit on the back and say, man, oh, man, that was an unbelievable teaching yesterday. And if you you want your friends to understand what's going on, I would ask you to share yesterday's video with them. Tell them just watch the 30 minutes. If they just watch 30 minutes, they're going to be hooked on it. But tell them just to watch the 30 minutes, and that home plate illustration was powerful. Russ, that's a must watch for you too. It's a must watch for all of us, because it's going to fall in line with exactly what you're talking about here. So we haven't had Russ with us for a while. He's been busy running around chasing after the devil and doing everything he can to upend the devil's plans. And we're lucky enough to have him join us today. And Russ, just swing away, brother. And hang on a minute. I'm sorry. Hey, folks, don't forget the Gay Pride Parade this weekend. We're going to be there. The boot camp's Friday night and Saturday. If you want to go with us, let's say, Coach, I don't want to come to the boot camp off at 10:30, but from where we're going to be, it'll be a while before we get up there. So if you're there by 11 o'clock, it'll be fine. And we'll have signs. And we did a story yesterday. We did a teaching yesterday on Ezekiel 3 that our command to warn the wicked. That if we really love people, we really love the Lord, we're going to go to these difficult places. And we're going to lift up the truth. So we would love to invite anybody who wants to come and join us. We're going to be out there Saturday, and we're going to be giving them the truth. We're going to be warning the wicked. And remember the scriptures we saw yesterday. It says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. And don't forget this. It said, if you find one who's fallen in sin, don't even eat with him. And as we saw yesterday, you have to be very careful, because in our desire to love people, we accept their sin. We invite their sin into our homes. It's a very, very dangerous situation. CoachDaveLive.com, a lot of information there. Want to join us at the boot camp and at the event, we'd love to have you. Russ, jump in here, man. What's been going on there with shatterthedarkness.net?
I'm still recovering from the conference. The Cornfield Conference was astounding, and the people that came, and I don't know about if you knew the shaman lady that came and wanted us to burn all of her stuff. She came in tears the last part of the day. And she wanted to repent of and get rid of all the things she was doing to be trained as a master shaman Reiki, wow. You know, New Age powers, whatever else. And just was so convicted and just so, gripped by the Spirit of God. So talk about the Spirit of God. He did a great work down there, and as he does through you. And the message, the A-team was, that was like the center. That was like the bullseye. So it was an incredible, conference down there. So, again, anybody going out with Dave, just coach with boots on the ground, that's the bottom line when it comes down to it. And, there's no other way to bring, in the sense, we carry the presence of God like Philip in Acts 8. So, going out to these places, that's where that engagement will occur. Otherwise, we leave the world blind. We leave the world blind.
Russ, the truth is, you either do or don't walk out what you believe. Because there's no two ways about it. You either walk it out or you don't walk it out. You cannot say, I believe this, and then not act upon what you believe. Otherwise, it's just a position that you hold. It's like a political position. And if you love your wife, then you serve your wife. You just don't tell her you love her. She knows by the demonstration of how you react towards her. And I think it's the same thing in regards to the Lord. And Russ, we're kind of messed up because we want to tell everybody that Jesus loves us without having any type of reciprocal love towards him. And if we love him, we will serve him. And we will go in those places that are difficult. And we will take the gospel to lost people, even though the gospel of the kingdom of God might make them uncomfortable.
Exactly. And it does make anybody, whether biker bars, streets, wherever else. I mean, that's the whole issue of the gospel. It does. There's a spiritual conviction comes. There's a battle behind it. And I mentioned this yesterday on that, which you want to talk about, that broadcast on remote viewing. There is the Spirit of Antichrist is very evident, very operative, and where you see really violent reaction. That's Romans 8 talks about the sin nature being hostile to God, doesn't want to submit to God, but there's a confrontation. The Spirit of God comes to convict, and so it's like a spiritual explosion. Either they're going to get harder and fight against and scream and rail or bow their knee. But outside of that, without the hearing the gospel, without that engagement. That's the book of Acts. That's the whole thing. Without that engagement, You're right. It's all we are is a political statement, and that's about it.
Russ, would you agree with me that what we're seeing going on in the political realm, take out Republican, Democrat, take all that out of it. The reaction that we see, Russ, that is so demonic in nature. Would you not agree with that?
There's no question, because the positions themselves, you know, you have to either embrace killing babies, embrace hating the family, embrace, you know, twisted perversions, embrace like the new thing that we saw the other day with Sanders coming out and his vehement, I mean, he wanted to out that individual he was questioning concerning his faith in Christ. It was, you know, not Muslim, not anything else. I mean, this Sanders demonstrated the spirit of Antichrist. This, you know, he demonstrated hostility towards Jesus, towards Christ, and wanted to eliminate. I mean, talk about, listen, if they want to talk about hate speech and hate crimes, and the demonstration of it, look in their faces, look at what they're saying, look at the positions they hold, and they stand in Psalm 2, they stand in opposition to God.
They hate Christ, don't they, Russ? They hate Christ.
That's demonstrated. Yep, that's demonstrated. Right.
And see, again, folks, I believe that this is me now. It does not have to apply to you. It doesn't have to apply to Russ. It doesn't have to. We read yesterday, Russ, in Ezekiel 3, that we're to warn the wicked. In fact, Jared, if you can pull that up there real quick, Russ, I want to, this is kind of on a tangent, but I want people who are listening to understand this, okay? Because we are going to go down to the gay pride parade. And, you know, people say, boy, that's harsh. You guys carry a harsh message down there. And that's not very loving. And they're never going to come to Jesus, yada, 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 yada. And, Russ, I bring up Ezekiel 3, verse 13. Jared, I don't know if you're pulling it up there or not. I think you probably are. I always hit Jared at the last minute. There he is. He's got it up there. Russ, I just want you to kind of comment on this for me as we get it up there. Go to 13, Jared. Because yesterday when I read this scripture, it really jumped out at me again. And I didn't make a point of it yesterday. I'm at verse 17. I'm just going to read something here very, very quickly. Because this makes Christians uncomfortable, okay? I know it's Old Testament. The Lord said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was there at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They were all there with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God breathed in that and breath of life, and man became a living soul. They're all right there. But look at this, Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I've made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words of my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, I want you to watch how many times he uses the word wicked. Okay? We would never say that in Christian circles. That wouldn't be very loving at all. Watch this. When I say unto the wicked, one, thou shalt surely die, and you givest him not a warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. And yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, there it is. There it is. What do you think about harsh words like that, Russ?
Well, that's the straightforward truth. The Spirit of God doesn't use innuendo. The Spirit of God uses truth. You know, so it's not just innuendo and, you know, and I don't want to bring up the term snowflake that we've been hearing all over the place, but that's that. Look at the book of Acts. I mean, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised. That's what Stephen said, filled with the Spirit of God, that enraged the crowd, of course. He says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And that eventually got him stoned, but he preached the gospel. Saul of Tarsus got saved after that. So, no, there's a clarity. There's no question about God loves people, but there's no question about the sin, the wickedness, the twistedness, the perversion, and the ability to say face-to-face, this is filthy, this is wrong, this is deadly, this is lethal, this is – I mean, I'm dealing with these, you know, this remote viewer side of things, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here, but you know, we talk about it as being real, but it's lethal, it's deadly, and as it says in Ezekiel, and I love it in Ezekiel, that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, rather they turn, but the way in which they turn is God confronting what's there, and confronting what's there. That's the Spirit of God's job in the first place, convict of sin, amen, righteousness, and judgment.
See, Russ, I'm finding more and more because of the the soft evangelical Christian, evangelifish Christianity that we have. I find that where I go, Russ, everybody already knows God loves them. They've heard that so many times, right? And so I use that sword, but I don't use that sword as much as the Bible says to warn them. What? Warn them that God loves them? I'm supposed to warn them that God loves them? That's not a warning. I want to warn them that they are in serious trouble if they don't turn from their sinfulness. That's the warning we have to get, and we have to be direct and call it that. Yes, Roger?
But I'm looking at my Bible, and I think I've got the wimpy NIV. But even the wording is, in this section of Ezekiel, the word sin is used, not wicked. And I find that curious because wicked to me is much worse than sin, I guess, from a word standpoint. But it's the soft peddling of the action, the soft peddling. Yeah. Instead of calling the person a pervert, he is in sin.
Well, tell him he's deviant. He's in, right? Yeah. Or how about this, Roger? How about not the wicked witch of the West, but the sinful witch of the West? That wouldn't quite have the same pop, would it?
Well, not when we are bombarded with that God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. So your sin is just kind of a part of it, you know?
So that's why I love Russ, because what Russ does a great job of, better than anybody that I know of, brings the supernatural to the natural and helps us understand that these people just aren't dumb or confused or think differently, that there are demonic forces at work trying to seize the mind of men to cause them to do what we see happening all over the place. So, Russ, man, that was a softball. That was a softball, but take off on it, Russ, of how we're being influenced and exactly what's going on.
Well, again, I think the more we see the dark side, well, that's how Satan operates. I mean, Ephesians chapter 2, you know, he's the prince of the power there that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So he's operative. The bigger and sterner the person's wickedness, sin, and all that they're into, the stronger they are in that, the broader the platform for Satan and demons to work. And so that's why we're seeing such bold. I mean, look at who's bold out there. The deeper, broader, more perverted, more twisted the life, it seems like the bolder and the more they're Lyle talks in Romans that the conscience, you know, we're either excusing or it's accusing. So a lot of it deals with their whole issue of excluding conviction and running from that. So again, without straightforward, you know, pouring out and speaking and confronting, there is no way. I mean, how else are we going to do that? I mean, that's where if we want to do it the way they did on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when Peter warned them and pleaded with them to save themselves from this, what? It's a perverse and a wicked generation. That's clear. So there's passion. We don't want to see the most decadent individuals lost, but we don't want to back off of saying what we need to say. So look at Peter in the book of Acts chapter 2, filled with the Spirit of God. In the context of the gospel, he's blasting them, and of course the Spirit of God brings the scripture in to identify their sin. So it's not just that they're saying you're a sinner, you're perverted, you're twisted, you're crazy, you're nuts, you're filthy. Intertwined with that is there is a way out. There is a savior. There is a sin bearer, and that's Christ. So you've got that's the context of the whole message. And there is confrontation. Look at the book of Acts. There's no question. It's not just pizza parlor evangelism. I mean, I could witness to somebody sitting on the seat. I can go over there and talk to a grandmother. I can go over there and talk to a teenager. And there's a sense of adaptation. But you're going to bring the gospel. My assumption in the gospel is the Spirit of God is going to convict and convince sin, righteousness, they don't have any, and Jesus has it all, and judgment. Mm. Those elements are in there. Those three elements are in there. So we need to understand, if we back off and say, well, they're going to feel bad if we really bring the gospel to them, well, then what are you going to do, let them go to hell? You're going to let them just live in the sin issue? yes, there is going to be confrontation with some. We had, when we went down to the University of Akron, the Gay, Lesbian, Pride meeting, I went in by myself the second time. I stood up in a group, in a room filled with gay, lesbian activists and professors. And they even had a guy said that he was once a Nazarene pastor, and now he's the Metropolitan Gay Pastor. And when it came to question time, I stood up to say, listen, you know, you guys are sitting here declaring that Jesus is a homosexual. Jonathan David was homosexual. So I stood up to say, this is absolutely not the truth. And I stood alone to stand there and let them know. And you know what happened? I got cussed out. They threw condoms at me. I mean, the head guy, Michael Belusco, after he repented a year later, called me to apologize. He said, Russ, we were going to wait for you to come the next time. The guys were waiting to rape you. This is a true story from the University of Akron.
Wow.
Because we stood there to speak truth and say, it wasn't just turning around saying you're an ugly, damnable person and then walk out. So it's not just throwing a rock and hitting them.
No, it's more vicious. Vicious.
Well, yeah, and so we bring the gospel, we bring the message, we bring the truth, and we speak about, you know, liberation from that. And there's a salvation, and there's a need for it. The guy that led me to Christ, the night that I was partying and doing whatever, he just told me how rot gut I was. I mean, he preached the gospel. He preached the way out. He told me how badly I needed Jesus. He told me, Russ, you're going to go to hell if you don't get Jesus. It was passionate. I knew he loved me, but I heard his message. And I ran from him, but I couldn't run from the Spirit of God. And that's what's important, so that we strike this, but they can't run from the Spirit of God.
Russ, I hear from some people who, hey, folks, we got room for about 13 more of you. Jump in there and join the conversation. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and just hit join the huddle. We'd love to have you come in here. Russ, I hear from people say, listen, you got no business down there. You got no business going to that homosexual pride parade. They're all been given over to a reprobate mind. They are reprobates. A Christian has no business doing down there. Russ, what does the word reprobate, what does that mean to you, Russ?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it has the idea of Romans, you know, 1, where God is, you know, handing them over. Now, there is a line in which people can cross that that there's no more voice of God. You can harden your heart so much that no longer the Spirit of God. I don't know where that line is.
Amen.
And so like Saul of Tarsus, was he not there holding the coast, giving all his backing to the killing of Stephen, the martyrdom of Stephen, yet he got saved? So here's what I think. You know what real love is? Going down to those places. When we used to go to the Outlaws Biker Bar right inside and the Andres Gay Bar right down the street, we used to go right in to witness, to sit down with people, to share with them. You know, that's an act of love. That is, you know why we went? Not just to tell them they're sinners, not just to tell them they're wicked, but to tell them the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I think by the very, who else is going to go? There, listen. There's still, listen, the wickedness, the sin, does not the grace of God superabound more than the wickedness?
Amen. I mean, amen.
That's what I'm saying. In that crowd and the confrontation, that's sometimes what causes the breakthrough, and some of the hardest gay activists have gotten saved because of that. I'll tell you the story of a lesbian girl out in the conference in Colorado, if you want me to. She was a police officer all her life, but she wanted to sit down and talk to me. She said, Russ, she said, I have known all along. I mean, no question. She'd been a lesbian for like 25 years. No question. She was a police officer and indignant about her position as a lesbian. But when I listened to her testimony to say, all along, I knew I was wrong. All along, I knew this was wrong. Everyone I've ever led to Christ out of that world of homosexuality and stuff, I've never heard one of them say, well, I really believed it was right. They know deep down. Now, if they cross the line, maybe there's some that cross the line. They are so reprobate. They are so, you know, I don't know where that line is. If God, the Spirit of God says, if he ever says to me like Moses, don't pray for them anymore. Okay. If I have God do that. But I think, Dave, going down there is an act of love. It's an act where you're coming to say no to the culture. No, this is wrong. I've said before, we have a right to say homosexuality is unnatural. physiologically, biologically, the parts don't fit. Listen, it's like a mind control thing to wash over this thing on a national level, to turn this into they're the victims, many of them want to get out. Many of them are enslaved. So I say to the gay activists and gay leaders that tell the people, you can never get out, you cannot leave. They're the most vicious, angry, violent people when any gay, leadership Amen. Person leaves. They are the most Amen. Mean, hateful, unbelievable people when, the way in which they vilify people. So they don't want to let anybody out. We're coming to say, all that's correct. There's a way out of this, though. There's a liberation. Some of them want freedom.
This just came to me, Ross, from the Holy Spirit. I know. Mm-hmm. See, homosexuality is sin. It's sin, folks. It's sin. All non-traditional sex outside the bonds of matrimony is sin. It all is. All right. Now think about this illustration. How many times have you run into a heavyweight, overweight person who has now just given themselves over to being heavy overweight? They said, I've tried. I just can't lose. It's just the way I am. I can't lose it. They've given themselves over to being overweight. And then you run into them 6 months later and they've lost 100 pounds. You say, what's going on? What's going on? He said, I just made my mind up and I realized and I prayed about it. And man, I just changed the way I eat and that weight just burned off on me. See, there's no difference between giving yourselves over to that sin of gluttony than there is giving this over to the sin of homosexuality. If you accept the condition that you're in, you will never get out of it. But the good thing is Richard Simmons made a career out of it, coming along and telling fat people, you don't have to be fat. You don't have to be fat. Well, people are trying to make a career going around telling gay people, you don't have to do that. Because, Russ, right. A fat person knows they're fat. They know it. They take down the mirrors. So deep inside the heart of a homosexual, Russ, we can tell them they were born that way. I was born fat. I was born short. Can't do anything about it. But I'm not going to let that hinder me and get trapped into that sin. That's really what we're talking about.
It is, and it's sin is an addiction, and there is addiction in a sense to that. I mean, I've never met an adulterer to say, God bless me to be this. I'm living in the will of God. I mean, they know this, and that's the truth in that world. I mean, we've been down on the streets on that. We've been down to the bars on that. We've been to the university on that. I've led, homosexuals to Christ. When I pastored, I looked at my congregation. There's a woman, her husband, and the two sons. She was a lesbian all her college years. I look over to the right of me. There's another guy married with a little son. Scott was homosexual for years and years. He came to Christ. What the rest of the world's not hearing, the United States not hearing, and the media's not allowing? Thousands and thousands and thousands of gays and lesbians left that world because of the pain of it, because they're reaping what they sowed, because they couldn't stand it any longer. They wanted out of that. They wanted freedom from that. And you're absolutely right. I've got extended family members that think that they can't get out. It's such like a gross addiction. And so to level it out, because all sin tries to do is excuse itself and justify itself. So that's why there's this national level. That's why they went to the courts. That's why they went to the American Psychological Association years ago to get this off the books as an abnormality. Let's get rid of this. So I've said this in the series I've done on homosexuality in the past, that there is a propensity, as it was in Sodom, there is a propensity to clear the conscience. Either you shut up and agree with us and back us in our sin, or become what we are. See, I'm going to tell you this right now. Here's and this is what I think some will not like, is that there is such a propensity in the gay, lesbian activist world of not only making you bow down and making you declare they're okay, they want to take it further. Mm. They want you to join. They want you to do what they do. That's the way they try to clear their conscience, and it never happens.
Amen, brother. They can't get away from it. Sin is sin. And so part of the reason we go down there is we try to deliver the truth that, number one, you stand in judgment, and number two, there is a way out. And for those who want to criticize us, you only criticize us because you've never been there. You've never seen it. And some of us need to look in the eye of that beast and understand exactly what it is that we're dealing with. So Russ, let's anybody in the queue have a question, anything you want to ask Russ before we move on? because Russ, I do want to, move into, you're in the process of making a series on remote viewing, touch and warfare. I want you to just kind of crack that open a little bit for us. So, Kevin's one that put me onto it. I listened to that first half of it yesterday. I was blown away.
Yeah. Yeah, the remote viewing is kind of a sanitized version of astral projection. All the shamans, deep occultists, everyone in the satanic ritually abused, they've all done this for years and years. It's the concept counterfeit to the Bible, where Paul went out of body, Ezekiel went out of body, John on the Isle of Patmos lifted out of body by God to show them things that scripture would be written down. So there's a counterfeit to that, and that is where demonic presence empowers an individual to project out. It's always been called astral projection. Psychics, all the psychics with their spirit guides, they can do this. They talk about it. So back in the 70s, or probably earlier than that, military tried to weaponize this thing. Ingo Swann was known as the father of modern remote viewing. That is the military terminology, coordinate remote viewing, to where military, they spent $21 million at Stargate, Fort Meade. Lynn Buchanan, Monroe, McMahon Eagle, David Morehouse, Ed Dames. Reason I mention all of them, I've been praying for them for 20 years. I've been praying for these guys and these guys in the military, because they've been, even Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut in Roswell when I was there, declaring it's a natural human function. And he said publicly at that conference down there that don't let anybody tell you that Satan's involved with this. It's a natural human function, and we're all evolving. We're evolving, you know, to human, to Homo Lumos, light beings. And so remote viewing is the way to project out. So military used it to project out to spy on the Russians. The Russians had Psi warriors. United States had Psi warriors. There was a Psi warfare going on. Lieutenant Colonel Shannon wrote what was called the First Earth Battalion, which was kind of a new age, how to have clairvoyance, telekinesis, remote viewing ingrained in soldiers, kind of a new age level of soldiering. These abilities. Now, the problem is, and here's where the warning comes in, they say it's a natural, normal human function. I've said from the beginning, coming out of a Buddhist background before I got saved, it is only empowered by the energy of a demonic presence. Demonic presence is causing this supernatural ability, giving you non-human enhancement. So there's no question. We've done deliverance on a military remote viewer before, where the energy, we commanded it. It all of a sudden was that they realized, hey, this is an entity. This is a person, demon.
Okay, Russ, let me stop you a second, if you would. Explain in cornfield language, remote viewing. What does that mean?
That the person will have the ability, non-human, I mean, enhanced ability to be able to close their eyes and project out miles away to another country and spy or view, like astral projection among occultists. They believe they can leave their body, come to your house, and not just spy. Now they believe they can touch or cause harm. They can actually physically engage you.
So someone who does remote viewing or believes in remote viewing believes that they can leave where they are and demonically, through the spirit realm, impact where I am.
Exactly. And again, Ed Dames is one of the most well-known worldwide, been on coast to coast, written many, many books. And my difficulty is this. I mean, whatever people do, they choose what they choose, and you reap what you sow. But there's such a – here's again where the dark side masquerades as an angel of light. This is where – they've tried to declare this is a natural, normal human thing. Ed Dames finally came out. A group called SciTech came out. They've all acknowledged now, you know what? We get our ability from the Akashic Records, the Hall of Records. Mm-hmm. That goes back to Hinduism. That goes back to the old shamans, Edgar Cayce. That goes back to the second heavenlies, where the Ephesians 6, you know, where the demons are, where the principality and power. So they're declaring they're getting their aid, they're getting their ability from this supernatural realm tapping into them and enabling them to do this. U.S. military has done this, and you're talking millions of dollars spent. So dark powers and the enhanced super soldier aspect has it's a weaponization of demonic empowerment. That's what it is.
Folks, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer here with Russ Dizdar. We're talking about all things spiritual. One of the central focuses of our program, I believe, is to try to help people to understand that so much of what's going on around them isn't just poor decisions that people are making or the consequences of sin in other people's lives, but the actual active, aggressive involvement of the demonic realm into the lives of human beings. And until we come to the realization when Paul told us in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, until we come to the realization of what that even means, we're not going to be successful in fighting the fight. And Russ, that's one of the things that always impresses me about you when you were here in the Newark area. People come to you who are so burdened and they have no idea how to get free from it, do they?
Yeah. No, and that's again, this is why I think again, we've been discipled partially over the last three, four decades. There's been navigators, discipleship materials. We've been, you know, and there's been some good Bible churches that have gone through ABC, but they forgot about, you know, the rest of it. And mm-hmm. So we have millions and millions of believers that have been turned into spectators. They have the concept of being saved, concept of knowing God, concept of worship, concept of going to church. But the rest of it, clothed with the power of the Spirit of God, understanding Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. There is no salvation that excludes the fact that we're saved out of the darkness, out of the power, like Paul said in Acts, out of the power of Satan to the power of God. We're out of the darkness into the light of Christ. So there is no salvation without this power encounter. Jesus came, 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So we're saved. The blood of Jesus means something. It means the washing of sin, the complete forgiveness, but also freedom, but it includes breaking Satan's bonds. Colossians chapter 1, when you get saved, you're ripped up out of the dominion of darkness and you're transferred over into the kingdom of Jesus. That's mm-hmm. real. And a spiritual, you know, that, you know, as a believer in Christ, if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not going to grow in prayer, if you're not going to know the armor of God, the guarantee is you're going to be a beat-up believer. You're going to be a beat-up, weakened, crippled. We have a lot of I'm saying as a pastor that loves every single believer. We have a lot of Christians that don't understand that they're walking on spiritual crutches. They're crippled. They're in wheelchairs.
Bedridden believers. That's what I call them, Russ. Bedridden believers.
Exactly. So down in Newark was like every other conference, to where there are hundreds of people, and you know that's why we'll give the time. And I don't care, you know, wear yourself out helping. Jesus got tired. I mean, I fell off the porch down there at the end of it all. I don't know if you heard about this.
No.
With my leg went out. I think I was just tired, so tired when I went out the door and I had my backpack. It was an incredible, weird thing, and God protected me. I didn't get hurt, but it was I was just ministering to these folks. I got up to walk away, and you know how that porch was. But look how many people, they don't know what the arrows of the enemy are. They don't understand oppression. They don't understand if they've given into the flesh, the enemy can take hold of something. We've dealt with a lot of people like that.
Dave. Yeah, is that you, yes. Raj? Yes.
Russ, I think you said something, and you went too fast over, which is important. The blood of Jesus means something. Now, you could preach on that. I think what we have today with the vast majority of believers, it means one thing and one thing only. My sins are being dealt with. The mm-hmm. issue of the Holy Spirit, the issue of the Spirit living in you, the power of the Spirit is not there. It is strictly a salvation message of my sins. I kind of handle my sins now through his blood.
Right. Right. I mean, that's why the helmet of salvation, as far as the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, we've been told and we've emphasized, you're forgiven. Praise God for that. We are. Absolutely. But that's inseparable. We've been forgiven. At the same instantaneous moment, we've been set free from the power of the sin nature. At that same moment, we've been released from Satan's ownership. We've been indwelt by the Spirit of God. A new nature has been put into us. We're now positionally in relationship with God. And everything God promised us in Christ is to be ours. And so that salvation is huge. And the blood of Jesus for the removal of sin, the breaking of the sin nature, the indwelling of a new nature from God, the freedom from Satan's rights, and now God has ownership. We're sealed with the Spirit of God. Salvation is huge. But to say we've been forgiven, we need to be able to understand that's inseparable from freedom from the sin nature. Like we read in Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's from the moment of salvation.
And so, Russ, Satan. The helmet of salvation, folks, think about this now. We talk about the full armor of God, and we do it so cavalierly. Actually, most people could not tell you the full armor of God. They couldn't. I learned it like a football player putting on his equipment. You know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird my loins with truth, shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, carry the shield of faith where I might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and above all, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But see, the helmet of salvation, folks, what does it protect? What does the helmet protect? Well, it protects the mind, because the battleground that you are fighting with the enemy is not a fleshly battle. It is a spiritual and a mind battle. And if you are not constantly, as the scripture says, washing your mind with the water of the word, that is the helmet of salvation. Anything you would add to that, Russ?
Well, that is, and that's where that's where empowerment comes from. That's why we read in Romans 6, when it goes through telling us we've been set free from sin, then we're told, count yourself or reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Why? Because you really are. That's appropriating the truth. That's what putting the armor of God's all about. So it's declaring what is true. You know what? I have been forgiven. I have been released from the control and rule of a sin nature. I have a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 says it's his divine power that enables me to be able to live for him. It's incredible. Romans 8 explains that new nature with the work of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption, the helping my relationship, helping us even in prayer. So salvation is so huge. When we say the scripture says put on the helmet of salvation, it is forgiveness, but it's not just that alone. It is the living Christ dwelling in, the Spirit of God dwelling in, and the sin nature broken, Satan's rights broken, a new authority. It's huge, and we need to appropriate that and know that so we can live in that, live free. So,
you know, Russ, I've been taught wrong, and I'm sure I'm speaking for probably hundreds who are listening right now. I was never taught, really, Russ, that when I came to Christ, his blood cleansed me of all unrighteousness. I understood the death, burial, resurrection. I got that old picture. I got it. But you know, Russ, I was never really taught, and in fact, today I don't think most churches teach, that not only have you been rescued from sin, you no longer have to sin. You don't have to sin. Mm-hmm. It tells us I think it's 2 Corinthians, right, that there's no temptation that's come upon man, but that which is common. And God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can withstand. But with the temptation, he will provide us a way out, which to me, again, comes back to the helmet of salvation. Not only am I now saved, I now have the ability to say no to sin, victory over death, hell, and the grave. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest. He would destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sin, causing me to sin. The helmet of salvation gives me the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to say, no, I now have a way out to sin. That no matter how saved you are, if you don't understand that you have a way out, you don't really understand the whole propitiation of what took place.
Exactly. And look at Romans 8. You know, if we put to death by the Spirit, we read about, in the beginning that we've been set free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. It means point blank and permanent. But then we read, then if we as believers by the Spirit of God put to death the misdeeds of the body, that's a demonstration. That's one of the evidences that we're really saved, that that not only we confessed it and acknowledged it and believed him and confessed him as Lord, the Spirit of God has come in. There's an exchange. A great exchange has occurred. And now there's an indwelling, operative presence, a new nature that enables us, and any just, you know, get 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that enables us to live devoted to the Lord. Listen, we were not saved to live half-baked, weak, crippled lives that doesn't glorify God. Amen. We were lived to come out of the darkness, out of that power, a new way of living. And you're right. 1 John chapter 2, the Spirit of God leads John. I write to you so that it's in the Greek, it's what's called, I love saying it though, but it's important. It's a subjunctive aorist. Here's what it means. I write to you so that you will not even sin one singular sin. Now, if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. There is an issue. If a believer does fall into some sin issue, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, but that sets me up to tell us, you know what? There's victory and there is obligation. If we walk in that victory and walk in the Spirit of God, you strengthen. You know, in Romans 6, to whomsoever you obey as a believer, you become a slave. If you're going to obey the Spirit of God and walk in righteousness, that's going to become your powerhouse. If you're going to fall back into sin and cripple yourself, you know, you as a believer can get crippled again, and that's because of you. Lack of knowledge, lack of appropriation, lack of realization. Listen, we're not saved to be passive, you know, to be drug along. We're saved to stand up and follow Christ. Take Amen. Up the cross and follow him. That's off the that's off the couch and out on the field. There's no other way to do that. There's no other way to live in the joy of the Lord.
Listen, folks, I think there's one thing that we have to get grips on. We should not be ashamed of our past life. Now, bear with me a second here. Scripture tells us that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you're cleansed from your sin. The word of your testimony. You got to tell somebody. And you love not your own life, even to the point of death. In other words, it's not the blood of the Lamb that's not the only thing that you overcame by. It's your blood of the Lamb that rescued you. And then you got to start talking about what happened to you. And I think where so many people miss the gospel message when we go to the gay pride parade, I never forget, Russ, without Christ, what I could be. Luckily, I was never tempted in homosexual sin, ever, never was tempted into it. But I was tempted into a lot of different sins. And so my power when I try to go to the streets is to say, listen, dude, I used to think like you. I understand exactly what you're saying. I understand why you get angry when I point out your sin. I understand it. I used to be you, but can I tell you what happened to me? And that's the power of the word of your testimony. I used to do that. Now I don't do it anymore. And I would like for you to have that same deliverance in your life. But we have to, instead of being burdened by our past, we need to use our past as a jumping off spot to try to reach those who are trapped where we once used to be.
Yeah, out of the darkness into the light. That's powerful to say, look what Jesus did for me. Saul of Tarsus, when he became Paul, he did that in front of a king. He did that and he gave that kind of a testimony, what he came out of as he was confronted with the gospel, as he got saved, and look at his life now. So, and listen, here's where I'm saying again, we got to remember the United States, we have a right, freedom of right. We have an obligation from God, not even to be dumbed down by the culture. We have an obligation from the Lord to speak truth, to acknowledge. We have a right in this nation to say, hey, this is an abnormality. This is abnormal. This is wrong. This is sin.
Deviant.
This is wickedness. This is deviant. And you know what? Most everyone I've ever met, even the ones that yelled and screamed and threw condoms at me, you know, they knew in their heart of hearts. You can count on the fact that the Spirit of God will convict. You can count on the fact Romans chapter 2 says the law of God has been written in the heart, accusing the conscience or excusing. So the law of God, even people not raised in church, I wasn't raised in church, but my conscience, I knew I was wrong all along. And I want you to know that I think there's a lot of gays and lesbians that have come out of that world. They've said, you know what? It was miserable. It was dysfunctional. That head guy, Mike, of the Gay Lesbian Task Force that surrendered to Christ, that turned him. You know what he told me afterwards? He told me not only did the guys devise a plan to get me and rape me if I came back again. He said, Russ, I knew all along. And he says, the reason I got out of it finally, because it became a very violent, ugly world. There's a lot of destruction, depression, and in some cases, not all, there's open doors for possession. And so if we let the gay lesbian world, if we let the culture tell us, don't say a word, we dishonor the Lord. We're derelict in our duty, and we don't help anybody get free.
Russ, I was with some guys the other day. Their whole life revolves around Budweiser. You know the type, right?
Yes.
And they know that there was a time in my life when my life also revolved around Budweiser. Mm-hmm. And they know every time I'm around them, they're so convicted, Russ, because they know I used to be one of them. I don't even have to say anything, brother. They know I used to be one of them. And what's that old song? What about the change? Right? They cannot deny what happened to me. I can't emphasize this enough, folks. When you are witnessing to people, you have got to tell your story. There's nothing more powerful than for a woman to go to an abortion clinic and cry out to one, I made that mistake. Please come and talk to me. We're always looking for somebody that we think can relate to us. But we think that when Jesus came and he washed away all of our sin, he did, but he didn't wash away the power of that sin to be able to impact and influence others. I used to be like this, and now I'm like this. That's why the battle is so strong. Please, folks, see this, to try to silence the mouth of those who would bring the gospel of liberty to the deceived. They don't want us to speak that truth to them because the word will, in fact, set them free. But see, we don't want to go because we're afraid that they're going to say mean things about us or threaten to rape us or whatever. For us, it's right into that fire that we have to, with our own testimonies, we have to rush into those fires.
Sure. It really is. And again, that's what I'm saying, Dave. That is a demonstration that we do love them. I'm compelled to go to anybody because I'm compelled by the love of Christ, that he died for all, that he wants to reach everybody, and he's not willing that anybody should perish. So I'm going to go highways and byways, Satanists, whoever they may be. And that's, there's no other way to get saved. How can they believe on whom they've not heard? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, and you know, when a believer like that is out there standing, like I was, you know where I was when I got saved that night? I was in a party where 40 other people were drinking. Music was playing so loud, the walls vibrated. I was already taking a hit of acid. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And one individual that had gotten saved and just lit up for Jesus, all of a sudden, when he walked through the front door and I saw him, I wanted to run and hide. It was like cockroaches all running, because when Steve walked in the door, he was lit up. I knew that what was in him was real, powerful. I could tell you this, as a Buddhist, as a spiritualist back in those days, lost, I looked at him and said, I can't believe, what does he have? God is all over him.
And I ran
from him, and then he found me on the back porch hiding like a little, cockroach. I was just hiding from him. That's a true story. I hid from the guy, and when he came out there and blasted me with the gospel, but he did it with boldness. He did it with power. He did it with passion. He did it with love, but he told me straight up, you're lost. You're going to hell, Russ. You got to get saved, Russ. You need Jesus right now, Russ. On and on, to where I finally said, I got to get out of here, and I left my apartment and left it open, and I went clear home. But the Spirit of God, I didn't know about the Spirit of God. I didn't know he'd convict me and just deal with me for hours and hours later. And that's the night that I got saved, because that guy walked into a Satan's
enemy held territory.
I mean, I'm surprised that people didn't throw beer cans at him, flick, you know, their marijuana joints. Everybody was like, because he was so clear, so bold. But you know what it was? The Spirit of God. There was just emanating out of him was the living Christ.
So Russ, I'm reminded of the story of Jesus and the Gadarenes. Remember, he showed up at the Gadarenes when he cast the demons into the pigs. What was it that the Spirit said to him? Why have you come here to torment us? Right? He wasn't doing anything other than just showing up. So if you're walking in the light of the Lord, if you're walking in that Spirit, you better know this. You are emanating truth off of you. And most people, if they can't don't know how to handle it, they are going to flee from it. They're going to be angry with you. They do not want that light being shined in their face. But don't ever forget this. The Scripture teaches one man plants, another man waters, and it's God that ultimately gives the increase. So the idea that you, when you go out soul winning or do whatever, and they say, how many did you get saved? Or people say, how many were, we had 10 saved at church day, whatever term they would use. I say, hey, wait a minute, dude, you didn't save nobody. Somebody watered, somebody planted. There are a lot of people been speaking into that life before you even know it. And what we cannot miss is that opportunity to go throw some water on top of a seed that somebody else has planted and trust God to give the increase. Sometimes it's a hard seed. Sometimes it's a soft seed. But our job is to water and to plant.
Yep. We were in a bar one time witnessing downtown Canton, Ohio, years ago, and big old cowboy with a big cowboy hat. You know, I engaged him. First, he looked at me and said, hey, you're that preacher. I know who you are. I'm a construction guy. What are you doing in this bar? And I just looked at him and I said, I'm looking for you. And as I started to witness to him, he got angry and yelled at me and left the bar. 5 minutes later, he comes back in, took his cowboy hat off. He said, you've ruined my night. You have ruined my night. He had tears in his eyes. We ended up taking him out. Here, his mother was some kind of minister, you know, a strong believer. He was convicted. I believe his mother's prayers led us into that place.
That was planted in water. That's right.
You're not kidding. It was just an engagement. But I can remember he was out there drinking and dancing around, clogging and whatever else he was doing. And then when we engaged, his whole night was ruined. But out of the darkness, I mean, listen, that's fine. Let's ruin the world of the sinner so that that darkness can be broken. And that has to be, listen, our lives being out there means something. Jesus and his presence does come through us. The message must be told. Pray for the people, and when they become screaming, you know, yelling and doing whatever else, respond back. You know, we read about in Romans 12, don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. So I'm telling you that live in the gospel, live in the power, your actions preach, your mouth preaches, your life letting Jesus live. But if we allow the culture to dumb us down, to silence us, we're giving them a one-way ticket to hell.
You know, Russ, I don't think anybody who was ever rescued out of a fire, a burning house, I don't think anybody ever complained about how harshly the firemen pulled and drug them out of there. I don't think they ever complained about that.
And good picture. That's true. Let's drag the heroin addicts right out of those back alleys and say, stop this. You know, let's drag them out.
Whatever you got to do, whether they like it or not. Remember, folks, Russ has quoted it twice today. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, what's the law of sin and death? Well, the soul that sins, it shall die. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus now trumps that law. How about that? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from that law that says when you sin, you die. I don't have to do it anymore. I'm no longer a slave to sin. That's the gospel message, and we have to go to where they are. ShatterTheDarkness.net. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Russ has got a new series is up there. He's got all kinds of stuff up there. We're always honored when he would come and join us. The hour went by too quickly, Russ. We'll try to do it again next week. And brother, thanks for all you do. God bless you, man.
Blessings. Thank you. Thanks,
folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Sheila Zielinski tomorrow, folks. Sheila Zielinski.